1-800-414-4444. And with tonight's topic, here's Rob.
Now, I'm as partial to the principle of sweaty virility as the next girl. But more important, feminism, like no other revolutionary movement except gay liberation, is sparked, driven, and fueled on the combustion of sexual desire. While the rights to vote, be educated, and get equal access to wages and health care all serve as gateways to feminism, the gleaming secret, the unspoken pulse of feminist commitment is the orgasm. Orgasm is the body's natural call to feminist politics. If being a woman can feel this good, women must be worth something. I became a feminist because when I was 15, I was given the essential feminist gift, a safe loss of virtue, unmarked by social ostracism, an orgasm that was pure heat and light, unshadowed by the specter of death on a basement gurney. The sexual politics are coming into play now, baby.
63% of American women do not consider themselves feminists. Do you know that?
I knew that. I knew
they have felt they feel alien for some reason. They feel alienated by the so-called quote unquote feminist movement, and they have found that being a feminist is almost like a bad vibe to have.
Right? Why is that? Susan Faludi would say in the book Backlash.
She says there's a backlash against feminism, a highly effective, often insidious campaign to discredit its goals, distort its message, and make women question whether they really want equality after all. The phone number here is 749-1444, and the topic tonight is ladies.
Can women have it all is basically what it boils down to. Can a woman have a career, a family, and keep it all together and be happy?
What'd you make of family values this past election?
See, I think the whole issue boils down to this.
It is a crappy buzzword.
The whole issue, I think, boils down to this. I mean, where feminists make a lot of mistakes as they talk about careers.
You think that's a mistake?
Yes, because
you and I sit around talking about our careers.
What do you think the percentage of people who have a career is as opposed to people who just have a job?
Probably not real good.
Okay, I mean, most people, I don't know, 3/4 of the people maybe, just simply have a job that they somehow fell into to support themselves. And that's not a career. And if you take the average woman or the average man, they're working a job they don't like just because they need to support themselves. Then someone comes along, either the man or the woman, who makes enough money where one or the other doesn't have to work. Of course, give it up. I'd give it up. If there's some woman who had a good enough job where she could support me, boom.
You'd be a house husband.
I'm baking
all the way.
Bread, baby.
Me too.
I'm baking
Raising
bread.
The kids, ironing the shirts. Would you like a little more starch in that, Rob?
Please. Not so much yeast in the next loaf.
Okay.
Things like that. But they want to, you know, can they have it all? No. Can men have it all? Probably not.
Nobody can have
Nobody
it all.
Nobody can have. I mean, it's there's very few people, male or female, who have a job that they love and a career that they love and also have a wonderful family life. That's just asking for way too much for either gender, I think.
Jim, you want to hear something that happened to me when I went out with this girl last week?
Sure.
Say sure, Rob.
You should ask Jim. You said, Jim, do you want to hear this thing that happened to me?
No, I said Rob.
What'd he say?
He said Jim.
Jim.
Oh, did I?
But I want to hear.
Yeah, what was all that banging in the other room?
Do you have mug?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, do you guys want to hear what happened? I went out with this girl last week, and we're sitting there having a casual bowl of soup, and she says to me, she says, you know, I don't put anything in my mouth that I can't swallow.
So what the hell was she, how was she eating that? How was she eating that soup?
Well, she wasn't lifting the bowl up and pouring it in her mouth. Well, she was eating it with a spoon.
Well, now, how the hell did she put
and
that...
And she didn't swallow that spoon.
Well, she put the spoon in her mouth, didn't she? And she didn't swallow it?
I think she was coming on to me.
What? Do you think she was?
I do.
That's a first.
I think
you
she was coming
down?
On to me. I sure did. I wrote it in my little book of things.
That's the weirdest way to come on to someone. I don't put anything in my mouth that I don't swallow.
I'm going to have to remember that one.
I don't understand. Did that turn you on?
Well, I see it as either really, really good or really, really bad.
Well, it's the really, really good side of it.
She swallows. And the really, really bad side is she won't put it in her mouth in the first place. We got to get some phone calls here. Phone number is 749-1444. We started talking out about the war against feminism, and we wind up talking about blowjobs. Is this the way you want your late night talk show to go? I mean, you're paying the bills here. You're sending in your pledges, and please don't forget to pay your pledge.
Yeah, we
this is your talk show, people. Do you want to talk about feminism, or do you want to talk about blowjobs? Or are you as smart as me and Rob? Can you connect the two? 749-1444. Let's get them on in here. Come on, baby. There you go. We'll take it live. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing okay. Would you rather talk about feminism tonight or blowjobs?
Feminism would be my topic.
Uh-huh. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, what do you guys think? Don't you think that guys feel a little bit threatened by feminism?
Yes, I do.
You do, Rob?
Yes, I do.
How so? Cite me an example of how you feel threatened by feminism, Robert.
For one thing, it's more competition in the workplace.
There you go, Kelly.
And I think people who are trying to find a job, especially when jobs are kind of tight nowadays, will look for any excuse to make up for their own shortcomings. Well, I didn't get that job because they had to give it to a woman, or they had to give it to a minority. As a white male, I'm speaking like this.
Well, I think that in a lot of ways, it's not even just in the workplace, it's in every day. I think that men are more afraid of what women will bring into the world, and the more, I guess it's a loss of control a lot, because men are a lot more used to having control of things.
I never felt threatened by a feminist as far as control goes.
No?
Well, you've never had control of anything. You've never had any power of anything, Chris.
Oh, yes, I have, Rob. Yes, I have.
What? This talk show. What if they brought in a feminist? You had to take a woman co-host. You'd be scared. Is it a coincidence that you, as a white male, picked another white male to be your co-host?
Are you saying I picked you?
I'm saying you picked me to be your co-host.
I picked you to be my co-host not because you're a male or a female, but because you were the best doggone co-host I could find.
You know you're right. That was probably the best decision you've ever made.
I wasn't hiring a male, and I wasn't hiring a female. I was hiring a co-host. So there you go. And you know, Kelly, that's how I think it probably should go all the way around. You know, I don't think an employer should hire a woman. I think an employer should hire an employee.
Well, I do agree that the people that they do hire should be qualified, but
that's why quotas suck.
What?
That's why quotas suck.
Well, it's all in giving everybody an equal chance, where you have those people in the workplace that do have power and that are maybe racist or sexist and won't hire that person just because of it.
Look, if I'm Marge Schott and I'm going to hire a first baseman and the top 25 candidates for that first baseman job are males, I'm not going to hire a female just because I don't have one on the team. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, that's...
Okay, that's the best example I can come up with off the top of my head.
All right, Kelly, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I don't really know at this point.
All right, say you want to be an architect. Go ahead and say it.
Well, okay, let's just have a hypothesis here or whatever. Okay, I'm going to be an architect.
Good choice. I make a lot of money. Say, can you be a successful architect and be the up-and-coming Kelly Lloyd Wright and still be a successful mom? Can you still be a loving, caring, nurturing mom? Do you think you'll be able to drop the kid off at daycare every day and go design buildings and not feel guilty?
Oh, I totally believe that I could, like, totally work with the person that I would have a child with. And if he didn't, then I'd really be stuck in a bind, wouldn't I?
Yep, you'd be stuck in a bind. You'd be way behind.
Well,
you'd be willing to make a deal.
If I can be an architect, then I can have a husband that's going to be pretty good and that will share the responsibility of the kids and of...
Stay home and starch the shirts and do the laundry and watch some soap operas. And
would you support a guy like me or Chris? I mean, not specifically me or Chris, but maybe specifically me or Chris. Because if you're going to be an architect, I'm kind of looking for that architect gravy train myself.
Okay.
Now let's say, hold on, Kelly. Let's say that you get a good job. You're pulling in $80,000 a year.
Okay.
You're doing very well. You're making $80,000 a year. You're madly and passionately in love with Chris, who has absolutely no practical skills in this world. And so the most he could do is work at maybe Chevron pumping gas for $5 an hour, if he's lucky.
Well, if I was staying home being the house husband, I could figure out all the earned run averages and stuff.
Or would you let him stay home and take care of the child?
Sure.
Hallelujah. God bless you, Kelly.
As long as I didn't beat up the
How
kids,
old are right? you, Kelly?
I am 22.
Hello.
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 Well, so are you going to college?
I just graduated, and actually, I just got a job tonight.
You got a job tonight?
Yeah.
Designing buildings?
Pardon?
Designing buildings?
Actually, kind of close to it. I'm in a rental situation, so I'm working in a rental place of some villages of, like...
What, you're a hotel clerk?
Stuff. Pardon?
You're a hotel clerk?
Well, that and a social director.
Oh,
so I get to...
Now, did they hire you because you were a good social director or because you were a woman?
Where'd you get this job at?
I got it at the villages of Wildwood. So
in Fairfield, right?
Tri-County.
That's pretty close to Fairfield.
Yeah. On Ross Road?
Yeah.
Rob drives by there every day on the way to work.
I saw that notice in the newspaper. You got it?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Kelly.
All right, did you apply for that job too, Rob?
I wanted to be a social director.
Did you really? You'd be good at it. But you know, you probably didn't get the gig because they probably got quotas and they had to hire a woman.
It said secretary / social director, didn't it?
I actually thought that they hired me from my resume than anything else.
Do you think women make good secretaries because they like talking on the phone a lot?
No, I think in a lot of ways they've been kind of stuck in those positions for a while. I mean, look at what the women did in the 50s. They went to work in their husband's jobs, and then once they came back, they just kind of got rid of all the women.
You mean in the 40s during World War II?
Pardon?
You mean in the 40s during World War II?
Oh, yep, sorry.
World War II took place in the 40s.
Yeah. Rosie the Riveter. She came home to roost.
But anyway, I mean, that's a good example.
But, you know, Faludi brings it up as, like, that was a backlash. Whenever women we're not in the only backlash ever, but there are cyclical backlashes, and every time women make gains, there's a backlash against it. So in the early to mid-40s during World War II, when women were joining labor unions and were bringing home the bacon and frying it up in a pan and all that kind of stuff, then when the guys came home, there was a strong backlash to get them to become June Cleaver during the 50s.
Now, I heard that recently Madonna's really been into that backlash stuff.
She's into a lash everywhere. She just wants lashed.
Well, I'm going to leave you guys.
Kelly, congratulations on your new job. And yet, I did send in a resume or something for that.
You did not.
I did, too. Said secretary / social director put together a newsletter. And I have experience putting together newsletters and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Better luck this time.
Boy, I tell you, I would have got the job if it wasn't for this bitch. He probably had a hire. He probably just needed a broad. They just wanted a broad because they'd have been intimidated. If they'd have had a real idea man in there, they would have turned that thing around.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm just kidding, Kelly. Congratulations.
Okay.
Hey, when you got this big shot new job, though, you're going to keep listening and calling, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thanks for being our first call and bailing us out.
Butler County is a beautiful place to work.
Later.
Later.
Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. I say, Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. Yes, it's so long since I've been home, seems like there's no place to roam. Well, I've sailed around the horn, I've been from San Jose up to Baffin Bay, and I've rode out many a storm. Yes, sir. Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. Yep. Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. Well, I've heard the bawdy tunes, I've been in honky-tonk saloons, I took my liquor by the vat. Oh, well, I stayed on call for a rousing ball. Home was where I hung my hat. Whoop! Angelina, Angelina, please bring down. down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. Yes, sir! Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. Now I've courted many a girl, I've been in ports all around the world, but my rambling days are done. I've been from Curacao up to Tokyo, and I found there's only one, and she's Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. Yes, Salari. Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. Yes, so long since I've been home, seems like there's no place to roam. Well, I've sailed around the Horn, I've been from San Jose up to Baffin Bay, and I've rode out many a storm. Yes, sir. Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. All together now. Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. Once again now. Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. A little softer. Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. A little softer. Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea. Up to Lubala. Angelina, Angelina, please bring down your concertina and play a welcome for me, cause I'll be coming home from sea.
In this portion of the program, Chris and Rob are going to discuss feminism on film. The phone number is 749-1444. Feel free to jump in. We're taking your call, 749-4044. Feminism on film, Rob. Let's start with Truth or Dare.
Never saw it.
You never saw it? That was the ultimate Madonna movie.
Oh, that was Truth.
The ultimate dare is to tell the truth.
Is it?
Yeah, do you agree with Madonna on that?
You told the truth last week, and I've respected you so much more ever since.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't. Okay. Truth or Dare is the ultimate feminist film for what?
No, I want to talk about Truth or Dare.
I didn't see it.
Okay,
did you see it? Come here, Scott.
Scott's here in the studio audience tonight. He saw Truth or Dare. What do you think? Do you think Madonna told the truth, or do you think she lied?
I think Madonna knew the cameras were there, and she acted. It's just like any other movie. It's like giving a performance. Madonna lied. More promotion. She was just promoting herself, lesbianism, making gay men kiss themselves. It's all just a big promotion. It's all shocking us.
What do you think about gay men kissing themselves?
Well, on film, it's kind of, you know, kind of unsavory. I don't appreciate it.
Now, what do you think about gay women kissing themselves?
Well, that's kind of attractive, to tell you the truth. Lesbianism is fine with me. You know, I can get along with that, but gay men, you know, tongues, it's unattractive.
Scott, what rock did you crawl out of under?
Well, I that's a very sexist thing to say, I know that, but I'm just saying, you know, from a man's point of view. It can be on film, the same as women, men kissing themselves, it doesn't matter, but, you know, it's fine with me.
Thanks. Thanks for being in our studio audience.
Penthouse, tonight. You know, Penthouse always has those two chicks making out.
Hello, Christy, you're on the air.
I am. I like to repeat what Scott said.
You'd like to do what to what Scott said?
What Scott said.
Go ahead and rebuke what Scott said. You enjoy watching gay men kiss?
No, that's not it. It's just that I happen to know Scott. And I told you, I'd listen.
This is Christy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think Scott's wrong because Madonna's like breaking down barriers of what women should be.
Scott is erecting barriers, and we're not going to all come together. We're not all going to be able to come together as one and live in peace together? And live in peace and harmony with guys like Scott throwing up these walls.
Well, he always does that.
Christy, let me ask you a question about Scott.
Yeah.
Do you find Scott to be attractive?
Not particularly.
In that Warren Zevon kind of way?
Not particularly!
What's not to like about him besides his Neanderthal attitudes
and his beautiful sideburns?
I couldn't tell you.
You can't tell me what you don't like about him.
Well, there are a few things, but I'd rather not say.
What do you like about the guy?
Oh, yeah.
What about those glasses? You like his glasses?
What about those lovely curls?
I guess they're okay.
What do you think about the way that cigarette just teeters between his fingers?
Well, he has a tendency to lick cigarettes, so...
Does he ever take a hat off? I mean, he always has a hat.
Yes, he works without his hat.
Yeah.
Where do you work, Scott?
Co-workers. Roy Rogers.
He works at Roy Rogers. That figures. They still have Roy Rogers around
here?
There's one Roy Rogers in Cincinnati?
No, actually, there's two.
There's two of them.
There's one in Queensgate. Union Terminal.
Why are you called the Buddha?
My last name is Budai.
Oh, okay, Budai. So you didn't appreciate Scott's rude, crude comments. Do you work with
him? Are you related to Sharon Budai?
Well, if she lives in Cincinnati, I probably am, because most all the Budais that live in Cincinnati are related.
She's psycho, you know.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know that side of my family very well.
She tried to rape me once. Now, is it reverse discrimination to get raped by a woman?
Do what?
Is that reverse discrimination? Because most guys, if they got raped by a woman, probably wouldn't press charges and actually would probably ask for more.
Well, not only that.
No, most girls that got raped by guys go out and start pressing charges.
It depends on the woman.
No, it doesn't matter. If a
woman, why not?
What if she held a gun to your head, or she held a knife to your head, or she just beat you senseless with a lead pipe?
Oh, would that terrify you into the point where you wouldn't? I mean, think about it. You cannot make a guy have sex.
Hold on.
Good point.
You got
Good
Scott
point.
Fired up.
Okay, Scott.
Sorry.
What are you doing up right now?
I don't know.
What are you wearing?
What am I wearing?
Yes.
I'm not telling.
What are you wearing?
Shut up, Scott.
Oh, that's nice. Budai, did you see Truth or Dare?
Yes, I did.
What do you think of it?
It was okay.
What do you mean okay? How is it okay?
Okay? We already talked about this.
No, we didn't. How? Fair? Good? What?
Well, I thought that, you know, she pretty much, or a lot of what she did was sick, but I mean.
You think she told the truth? You think she didn't know the cameras were there? You think she didn't, was not acting?
Oh, Scott, she knew the cameras were there, but that's the reason why they were making the movie.
Well, yeah, she authorized the making of the movie. She had it made because she wanted this. She wanted this out in the public. She wanted to shock the public more with homosexuals kissing themselves. I mean,
themselves.
Each other. Look, when I made that sexist comment, that was only to bring calls into this show because we're not getting too many calls. That's the only reason I made this call. But let me tell you, Budai.
Okay, Scott.
That movie was fake, and when I see you at work tomorrow, I'm going to explain this to you.
Fine, I'm not coming in.
So we got Scott the Drifter coming in off the street making sexist comments to help the Chris and Rob show out. You know, we talked about Troy falling far, Chris. We've fallen pretty far, too.
Mm-hmm.
From number one in Denver for 82 straight weeks to this. So what about sexism in general in the media? Do you see it a lot there, Budai?
Yeah, actually, I do.
What'd you think about the movie Fatal Attraction?
Well, there's a lot of truth in it.
Why makes you think there's a lot of truth in it?
There's a lot of truth in it because a lot of men have affairs.
There's only of all the cases like that where there's an affair and someone goes after the other party, okay. Only 11% of them are the woman going after the man. And you say there's a lot of truth in it?
Yeah. Because not every woman goes psycho just because she's his mistress and, like,
Well, not every man is a stalker either.
Like Michael Douglas. I mean, the whole thing was his ego trip on Michael Douglas' part. He's saying, I'm so good at wankering some chick that they just can't get enough. Wasn't that the whole point of the movie? It was like, if Michael Douglas beds you down, you just gotta have more.
Oh, not really.
Well, think about it!
Something I don't like to do at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Budai, do you have any personal experience this sort of someone has an affair and you want to go after them kind of thing and you burned her cat or rabbit or whatever?
No.
My cousin did that once.
What? We're getting some vibes here with Troy.
Troy.
A guy named.
What was the deal with you and Troy?
Nothing. It's just something Scott made up.
Oh, Scott, you cad. What about Billy? The Hell Ride? Troy and Billy, the Hell Ride guys? What about Billy?
He's gone. He's history.
You got rid of him? What'd you do? You buried him?
Well, actually, he got rid of me.
Oh.
You know, Scott says I manipulate a lot of people, and I don't see it, but he said Billy got tired of me manipulating him.
I tell you what, I never knew what went on behind the scenes of Roy Rogers. You go in there and the place is just clean and sparkling and everybody has these facile smiling faces and you just think everything's wonderful and you never know what kind of Peyton place Roy Rogers really and truly is. I'm very thankful for this behind the scenes look at one of our lesser celebrated fast food places. I mean, if this goes on at Roy Rogers, can you imagine the mayhem at a Pizza Hut?
Yeah, actually, I can because I have a friend who works there.
I'm not surprised.
She's on the ball tonight, isn't she, Rob?
Well, I gotta get out of here. I'm going to bed.
Okay, Christy, go to bed.
Scott, I'm gonna talk to you tomorrow about this.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
749-1444 is the phone number. So people would go see this movie, Fatal Attraction, and they'd scream stuff like, this is according to Flutie again, punch the bitch's face in!
What did they say?
This, okay, this is all at a San Jose theater. Mm-hmm. Punch the bitch's face in. Kick her ass. Do it, Michael. Kill her already. Kill the bitch. Punch the bitch's lights out. I'm not kidding. Beat that bitch. Kill her off now. Those are all the guys would scream that to the
I'm glad I got that on tape.
About Glenn Close.
Betty Ann, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
What's up?
Not much. I want to say congratulations to Kelly.
Well, congratulations, Kelly, honey.
Also, I'm glad you brought up the movie Fatal Attraction. That movie wasn't in original form.
Not at all. You want to tell them how it was originally supposed to end, or shall I?
You can tell them.
It ended with Glenn Close killing herself. And audiences didn't like that because the audience had so much hate built up for the Glenn Close character that just watching her slit her wrist wouldn't do the job to fulfill their bloodlust. They needed to see someone kill her, so of course that someone had to be Michael Douglas's good little wife.
And also in the process, she destroyed his reputation. But in the second movie, the one that was shown to the American public, he comes off as the good guy and the family man and he goes back to apple pie life.
Well, the way it was originally written, it was like a 45-minute movie.
It was Madame Butterfly. It was a takeoff of Madame Butterfly.
Well, the way it was supposed to end, when the guy who wrote it originally wrote it, and he just made a short, was this guy had an affair, and he had a little black book because he was some kind of swinging stud. And he called up this woman, and I guess they popped Friday and Saturday. And then his wife came back Sunday. She called
they
Sunday.
Popped.
They popped. And he said, hey, don't call here anymore.
You mean they scrogged?
They scrogged because my wife's back in town. Hey, don't call here anymore. And then about a half hour later, she calls back and the wife answers the phone. And you know it's her on the phone and the screen goes dark. That's how the original one ended, but it was really short and wasn't even called Fatal Attraction. What?
Also, I want to clear up one misconception about feminism and feminists in general.
Go ahead.
Not all of them are Birkenstock wearing, non-leg shaven, Steinemist, Stalin women.
Some of them are babes, aren't they?
You can be feminine and be a feminist at the same time. Feminists come in all sizes.
You know, I can be a good-looking guy and be macho all at the same time, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole idea that women... Yeah, you're so cool. I mean, the whole idea that women have to be a big, ugly bull dykes to be feminist. I mean, that all goes... I mean, that was the way that it was portrayed even back in the 1890s when women were trying to get the right to vote. Because, you know, the late Victorian press would call all the suffragettes, you know, she-men, monsters and bloomers, hens that crow even. So all this stuff is nothing new. It's been dragged up every time or as Chris would say, drug up. It's been dragged up every time.
Man, did you say drug?
whenever you talk about feminists, one of the stock answers is, well, they're all big, ugly bull dykes. You don't get enough sex. And it's just a stereotype that's been perpetuated throughout the ages.
I think it also scares off a lot of women who don't rise up to their own cause. I think it's the obligation of every woman to keep in mind women's issues and social issues and how it only doesn't affect them. It affects all women in general. And that kind of stereotype that's perpetuated scares a lot of them off from being aware of their own plight.
Betty Ann, can a woman have it all? Can't she have a fulfilling, self-satisfying career and be a wonderful, nurturing mother?
I plan on doing it.
Okay. You plan on doing it? So you think it can be done? Will you feel guilty dropping the kid off in daycare every day?
No, not at all. Not at all.
What about when a kid gets lonely and he misses his mommy?
Well, you know what? I might not drop him off at daycare. I might have to do that because it's a necessity, because I'll have to earn an income. As well, I mean, I probably have to be involved in a two-person income. A mom and dad both working. So I might not drop...
Or you might be married to a big rock star.
No, I don't know.
That'll never happen.
What happened to this?
Sometimes these stereotypes are the exact opposite of what they are. Like, I heard a rumor that most feminists were really just flaming nymphos.
That could be true.
Is there any truth to that?
Because of the orgasm.
Yeah.
I'm not a flaming nympho.
You know, the orgasm is the body's natural call to feminist politics.
Maybe. It's a liberation.
You know, because if a woman can feel that good, then women must be worth something.
Well,
why do you laugh?
She just goes,
what do you spit in your phone?
You experienced a female orgasm, you would.
How's it different from a male orgasm, and how would you know?
Huh?
How would you know if it's different from a male orgasm?
I've read about it.
Well, I tell you what, it's just one thing you can't read about.
You know, that's right. I'm going to stand by Rob on that one. You can't read about that shit.
We've got one up on all you men. We can have orgasm after orgasm where you just got one big bang and that's it.
Two or three.
Who? Just one. Well, who are you going out with?
Well, you have to take a big rest afterwards.
Do what?
You have to rest a lot afterwards before you're ready to go again.
Only 5 or 6 hours.
By that time, everyone's asleep.
I wake them back up. And I mean everyone.
Oh, jeez. This is taking a turn for the worse. Betty, we love you to death. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Bye. Later. You're sitting in with the Chris and Rob late night talk show. I'm Chris.
And you know what?
What?
I'm Rob.
The phone number here is 749-1444, and the question this time around is going to be, why do women think they have better orgasms than men do?
Because they can have a whole bunch more, but maybe they just have a whole bunch of itty-bitty teeny-tiny ones right in a row. And the men just, like, as Betty Anso...
and we just have a grand finale.
As Betty Anso originally put it, we just have a big bang.
It's bigger than a big bang, sugar.
There was in one of those magazines, Red Book or something, one of those women's magazines, it had this article about how you can have your man have multiple orgasms just like women do, and it gave you all these exercises to have your man do, all these ball lifts and stuff.
Really?
You're supposed to walk around like flexing your nuts or something, and that way you could...
Boy, that's interesting.
You could go for a real long time. You use the same muscle that you use to cut off your urine stream. So just flex that and hold it for as long as you can.
Okay.
And then...
Rob, you know every guy that's out there listening right now is doing it right now.
Okay.
They're just going...
Just act like you're cutting off your urine in midstream and hold it for as long as you can. And then eventually you'll be able to not only screw longer, but you'll be able to have a whole bunch of little bitty orgasms and then one big giant orgasm, and you'll be just like a woman.
I guess. Helen Reddy would be proud. 749-1444. Let's get these calls in here.
Instead of the way it is now, when as soon as I see a nipple, it's over.
That's right.
Thanks.
You know, Rob, it's because you're getting cigarette. Old. It's because you're getting old, Rob.
I'm not getting that old.
You're older than me.
Well, I mean, as you get older, you should get better at it. But women think they do everything better. Like, they have sex better than they.
They think they can do everything better. They even think that in combat they'd be better. In the army.
I don't know. They never said they'd be better.
Yeah, they did.
Who?
Some women I saw on TV.
Well, okay.
Man, and you know, I gotta give him this. You know, a fighting, screaming, scratching bitches would be better in a fight. I wouldn't mess with her.
Some crazed rag. Some rags crazed woman.
Something like that.
Out in combat. But that's a whole different matter. Yeah, if they can do it, let them do it. If they can carry their load, if they can carry that big heavy pack they got to carry, if they can march all those miles,
Rob, this particular program of any other Chris and Rob show we've ever had is teetering on the brink, is it not?
Of just we're walking a thin line between
we sure are
real being real serious and just being totally asinine. But if they can qualify, if they can shoot their M16, if they can throw the grenades, if they can set up landmines and shoot law rockets and do all that other stuff, let them do
shoot
it.
What rockets?
Light anti-tank weapon, something like that. Law.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. I don't know. It was a thing that they had that one.
You used to be in the army, didn't you, Rob?
Ran that one Clint Eastwood movie with Tyne Daly.
No.
And well, you would. You're Mr. Movie. And what was that? The Enforcer.
Like Rob, you were in the army before you did talk shows, right?
Yeah.
Did they have women in your combat troop?
Yeah, we had women in basic training. And so we're out.
Were they any good at?
Just let me tell a story here, okay?
Okay. 749-1444.
We're out marching around, you know, hup, 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 and we're practicing marching basically.
We're king of the whole wide world.
And we look over. And we look over at the port-a-john, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the port-a-john seems to be waving in the wind a little bit.
Hmm.
Just swaying in the wind, just a little bit. So we keep marching.
The answer, my friend.
About 5 or 6 minutes later, that port-a-john is like it's the San Francisco earthquake. And so, you know, a few minutes after that, a guy comes out, and about 5 minutes after that, a female private came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's illegal in the Army, though, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You can't screw in the bathroom when you're just a buck private. You got to be at least a sergeant to do that stuff.
Were they reprimanded?
Hell no. Who cares?
They weren't even reprimanded?
I don't know. I mean, they were missing, though, so I'm sure when they got back to their company, they got in trouble. But they probably didn't get thrown out. I mean, they didn't get caught. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know much about the Army, but even I know that's illegal.
Yeah, you can't screw in the bathrooms in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
No, you sure can't. But they can do that. But if a woman can do all that stuff, let her go. Who cares? Let her fight if she wants to fight. Mm-hmm.